This is CliffCentral.com.
And we are back again with the Gilmore Tea Vibe here on Cliff Central. So remember, every Friday at 1 p.m. we are live. And you can also live stream us on www.cliffcentral.com. So please, tell your friend, your grannies, your next door neighbors, even if you don't talk to them, tell them that we are live on Cliff Central. And also your blessers, would love for them to listen to the GTEE Vibe here on Cliff Central. Or simply download the app on your iOS, your Android, your other phones, your Windows, etc. The application is at Cliff Central. Sorry, Lo. Exciting to have you back in studio. Yeah, I mean, you're always here anyway. You're a resident now.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a resident.
You've been a resident, yeah. So I don't know why I have to welcome you back.
Yeah, you should stop welcoming me.
I should stop welcoming you.
Yeah.
So this is the show that you tune into if you want to know anything that's happening about Zimbabwe. From Zimbabwe. And so the voice is never twisted. It's from us who are the Zimbabweans, yeah, running the world.
Yeah, no, not people who are actually out there trying to speak on behalf of us.
There's a lot of that has been happening on
this. Like, yeah, I mean, people telling us Zimbabweans are worried where Robert Mugabe is. Which Zimbabweans? I mean, come on.
All right. I mean, during that whole time, the whole December time, or November rather, November, December, there was a lot of talk happening. People were reporting about Zimbabwe in Johannesburg, for example, where we broadcast from, and some were reporting from Gaborone and from Kenya. Talking about Zimbabwe, they're not even Zimbabweans, they're not even in the country, and that's what we're trying to bridge, that gap. We
exactly.
need to give our voice to the world.
Exactly.
Yes, so about that, let's talk Zim. Okay, so you remember last week we spoke about the Kukurahundi dialogue that happened in Harare on Thursday, and on that Friday before, I mean, soon after our show, we went to attend one which was held here in Bulawayo.
Yes,
and,
sir.
The whole point was the talks were basically about to bring national healing and reconciliation, and with speakers such as Dumisa Dabengwa, Elena Sisulu, Sipho Malunga, Ray Motsi, Martin Rupia, and Lucky Moyo leading the conversation. Very interesting things that I think happened. You also attended, though.
Yeah, no, I always been attendance of Kukurahundi dialogues.
Mm-hmm. And, but what was the vibe around the whole discussion and what transpired in Bulawayo? Well, it was very short, though, like 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah, it was. I think what I liked about it was especially the point that Sipho Malunga made, that for the first time, as concerns Kukurahundi, people are trying to engage the victims. Of course, people have been engaging the victims for a long time. It's just that if NGOs aren't aware of that, it's like it's not happening.
Yes, but which is what Quantum Klanga also was highlighting.
Pointed out.
Why are you acting like you're the first ones to come and talk about this? We have been talking about Kukurahundi, but all of a sudden, because you bring people into a fancy hotel, you feed people, you think you're the first ones to do that, to doing that. For me, I liked his point of view because everyone else seemed to be in this one lane, and here comes Quantum Klanga, just boom. That for me was an interesting highlight. No?
This is a huge problem we've always had with a lot of conversations that we have in Zimbabwe. As soon as academics hijack it, they make it look like they're the first ones. You've got ordinary people on the ground. These are could be artists or people in the community, whatever, moving forward with things, with movements, with conversations, trying to get to the root causes, trying to heal, reconcile, trying to do through multiple platforms. And as soon as the NGOs and academics come in, suddenly they want to make it look like, because they have money.
So, and they also have manifesti, but they also have the platforms and other resources to make it more visible.
No, because if you have money, you're going to buy
you run
a hotel.
The world. You run the world.
You know, you're going to buy all of Twitter to talk about it. You're going to, that kind of thing. But then, yes, the fact that it was happening for me was a plus.
Yes, yes.
You know, the fact that it's visible on that level, it was a plus.
Yeah.
I think we really need to be having, regardless of who's involved, but of course, like Quan pointed out, it's been happening without you guys with the degrees, the hotel guys with the monies,
and the food and
the fancy stuff, know. And one other important point was when he mentioned that, you're talking to the wrong people. We know. what Kukurahundi is. We know how it affected
us. Exactly.
We are the victims.
So we're preaching to the choir.
So why not go back to the perpetrators, the guy in high office, the guys in high office, and talk to them and have them come down now so we can talk perpetrator to victim.
So that is what's missing right now, because we're simply preaching to the choir. We're talking to the victims. We're talking. We know about this. So it's like someone coming to your house and telling you that, oh, your watch is like this, oh, your couch is like this.
You know,
you already
live with the watch and the couch.
Exactly.
You know, that kind of thing. So I really think Kondi Mtanga is a hero for that.
Yeah, no, I
should be
him for
a
that.
National hero. You know, yeah, no, I think he's done so much in, you know, documenting and portraying the voice of Zimbabwe.
Obviously.
Yes, the voice of the oppressed and the minority communities and all that, and just as an artist.
Yeah, no, he has. And also, talking about artists, we had Owen Masego, who also was arrested some time back for actually doing visuals, because he's a visual artist, doing visuals on the Kukurahundi exhibition, and he was arrested. Meaning already we've been addressing
people
this issue.
People have been from long back. You get the Twagazi guys who've been arrested for high treason. You get the Pechulgas. You get a lot of other movements that some I don't know because I was too young when they were happening, you know, and the likes. And suddenly academics
come in.
Let's can't put it because
no, I really approached, but I wanted to have a conversation with him, and then soon after he had disappeared. I think after the conversation he disappeared, he went.
Yeah, no, because he has a long drive to basically where he lives, and it was now already dark.
Yeah, and we were actually live tweeting on behalf of Cliff Central. Mm-hmm. So those that were following the hashtag Kukurahundi, they managed to see what was happening in Zimbabwe. And if you were in South Africa, in the UK, whatever place you stay in, you will also manage to follow the conversation. Because it's not only about Zimbabweans, but we have so many genocides that are happening. But
exactly.
Then the idea of this whole discussion is, how do people heal from that? How do we bring about reconciliation and national healing when something like that happens in your country or in your spaces?
Oh, is that's a question?
No, it's not. So actually, as for today, the 19th of January, the new president of Zimbabwe has been in office for 56 days. And he recently announced the much anticipated elections. He says that they'll be taking place in 4 to 5 months in Zimbabwe. And they're going to be free and fair.
Have we ever had free and fair elections in Zimbabwe?
Do we ever have free and fair elections anywhere in the world, actually? Just an illusion, I think.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, maybe some people have free and fair elections.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's certain communities that are advanced in, you know, their electing skills. You know, but for Zim, I don't know, maybe these could be free and fair.
Okay.
Just, I think a lot of people are just skeptical of the soldiers standing by the president's side, you know.
Yeah, no, but there seem to be so many generals that are being given positions in this new government, and a lot of people are like, oh, what are we going to have, a military government, or what's going on?
No, but as much as I don't agree as well, I think I understand.
Okay, what do you understand?
In the sense, for example, you look at this whole coup thing, and until now, is you get a scenario where
we're still confused about that.
These guys are saying, what I understand is these guys are saying to Robert Mugabe, you know what, we've done all this work for you. We've been here since day one.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly you don't have us at heart.
Okay.
Like Usu Slasha. And so I think at the end of the day, it was very important for them, because when they were fighting the liberation struggle, those who were there and all that, there were promises.
So is this like fulfilling the promises?
I suppose they've decided, you know what, this old man wouldn't fulfill. He was prepared to then pass on the nation to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, those of us who've been there from day one, who have brought this nation about.
So this is a graduation process for the country? Like, hello, 10 years, you've been working so hard, we're granting you a position. I mean, is that how it works, or it has to be? There has to be some credibility to it?
I think, yes, there has to be, definitely. But like some of the people who are actually in the army there are well skilled. I mean, regardless, I don't know much. Like I was, during the coup days, I was introduced to SP Moyo.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody called SP Moyo before that.
Okay.
And now when I get to hear about him and what I find out about him, he's a very intelligent and well-learned somebody.
So is it in some way, are we sort of like just shining the light on those that we're supposed to be receiving the light, or we're just giving away prizes to people?
No, it shouldn't have to be giving. Still, I go back to constitutionalism of things and all where, you know, if there's a post that's supposed to be advertised for and every Zimbabwean applies, who feels qualified to apply.
Yes.
But I'm not too sure how posts in politics and government work. Because there's been a lot of hand-picking in Zimbabwe.
Yeah,
willy-nilly, Robert Mugabe removed people and put people in the way he wants. So maybe, according to the constitution, that's the right way to go about it.
Oh, is this
maybe
so?
We're just complaining.
Maybe.
You know, when he decides, let me reshuffle.
But, you know, when you even talk about that, it's just not even happening just in politics in Zimbabwe. Everywhere else, our parastatals.
Exactly.
The government-owned companies, the broadcastings, the media, they've been reshuffling. Like, for the past, I don't know, months, just in 1 month, there's like about 4 reshuffles, if not 3 reshuffles. We're trying to keep up. We're trying to keep up with the Kardashians. We're trying to keep up with Zimbabwe. We're trying to keep up with so many things.
Trying to keep up with the reshuffles.
We should have a reality show on that one.
Trying to keep up with the reshuffles.
And in another news, on a sad note, the founding movement of Democratic Change treasurer Roy Burnett and his wife Heather died this Thursday, which is yesterday, in a helicopter crash in Canada. So MTCT Vice President Nelson Chamisa told Times Live that the opposition has lost a gallant son who wanted to see a new Zimbabwe. He went on to say he was a true Democrat and really wanted to see the push for a free Zimbabwe. He said People's Democratic Party leader Tendai Biti also took on to social media to express his dismay. Very sad.
Yeah, it's sad when people pass on. It's gonna be sad. Roy Bene, I think, is the way Zimbabwe sort of like portrayed the opposition. I always have this picture of Roy Bene angry. I don't remember when he was shouting they put him out on the news.
That's media, like the that. Power
that's media. Like, each time his name is mentioned, I get that picture of him shouting at somebody in parliament or something.
But he's a gallant son, like they're saying, he's a gallant son of Zimbabwe. And by the way, Zimbabwe is just not for the black people. There's also white people, Indians, that are born in this country. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw someone saying, actually, hold that. I saw a tweet on this young man called Daniel Lasker. He's a videographer, actor, whatever. And he's a white young man, born and raised in Zimbabwe, has never known any place besides Zimbabwe. He put out a very nice picture of Matopos. And then he tweeted saying, my home, blah, 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 blah. And then this guy comes and says, how can you call it your home? How can you even call it your home? And then he's like, it's my home because this is where I was born, this is where I was raised, this is where my family comes from. Like, no, you're white, you're not supposed to claim Blah as your home. So it's the same. A lot of people think that way. And it's the same thing when you say Roy Burnett, everyone just said, you're British, go back to England. But he's a gallant son of Zimbabwe.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you are going to get such thinking and such minds if, as a nation, we don't go through this. You know, Zimbabwe went from independence to all these genocides and atrocities and unfree and fair elections and all this crappy economic meltdown. People never got a time to sit down and realign and look at who's Zimbabwe and how do we define this thing called Zimbabwe and what does it encompass, to actually create that definition for ourselves. That way we get to understand the diversity that it also carries. Because you've got a lot of people from the DRC and from all these countries in the north and west and east of Africa who actually live in Zimbabwe and are Zimbabwean fully.
And they've been here for a very
Here for a very long time.
I think from Malawi.
Malawi, South everywhere, here. You know, you've got a lot of these people. And yet you will find a Zimbabwean out there who doesn't know that.
So we also need
think
to
Zimbabwe
educate,
is brought down to Ndebele and Shona. Within Ndebele's, it's skeptic.
No, someone says to me, you guys need to go back to KwaZulu-Natal. I'm like, okay,
you know,
wow.
Like, okay.
Hello.
No Zulus want no Ndebele out there.
Exactly, because we left there. This gentleman from some TV station was like, you Ndebele's outcast of the Zulus. This is when we met in Washington, D.C. I was like, oh, wow.
That's nice.
That's very nice of you to say. And
yes, because people don't know. And if we don't teach one another, we don't teach people these histories, we're going to face that problem of I mean, it's the same thing. We are quick to point fingers at Americans.
Yeah.
When Americans are not understanding, okay, what are these, what are all these other colors of people doing in our country?
Yeah.
You don't know how countries are diverse. Some of these countries were actually built by people of color.
Especially many in the United States of America. That's why it's called the United States of America.
I don't know. Is that why they called it that?
Because it's made up of so many, I mean, states, and obviously it's also made up of so many different people of
diversity,
color.
Diversity, I'm just pulling your leg or whatever it is.
You can pull my toe, it's fine.
So yeah, that's the thing. So we have that all over the world. We have people in Zimbabwe who, you know, are narrow-minded about the diversity of Zimu, qualifies as Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
And in 2018, we should not be having that conversation anywhere in the world.
We should
people should be up to speed. Listen, we are diverse as a species, and people belong here just as much as they belong anywhere else. You know, and case closed in a discussion, let's build economies. Let's move forward. All this backward talk was supposed to be done in the 60s, and we finished.
We can still not ignore some of these talks.
Yes, we have to
allow
now
us to move forward.
Yes.
So the conversation, I mean, when they spark conversation like this on social media platforms, it's very important for people to also engage and air out their views. And if we also have a conversation that has sparked some debate on social media, please hashtag us at GTWEVibe and tweet Umelapi and tweet at GilmoreTWE and also the station at CliffCentral.com. We'd love to hear from you. Let's jump into the opposition. With all this happening with the opposition, do we have anyone contesting? Because we're talking about elections happening in 4 to 5 months. Do we actually have any strong parties contesting? And how have we dealt with the registration of those that are living in the diaspora, like many Zimbabweans that are outside? Have we dealt with that in terms of trying to, accommodate them to vote and also for their vote to be heard?
I think the last I read, it was said, you know, people in the diaspora will have to come down here on election day and vote.
With the chaos, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get how we can have a lot of measures, you know, to try and accommodate everybody else. Like in other countries, people are voting in, if you are in the diaspora and you're from a certain country, you go and vote at the embassy.
That's what I was thinking we would do as Zimbabwe, because the same way we're doing the biometric registration, which is more digital and up to date, which took me 5 minutes to do when I went to register. I'm thinking we could also use the same way systems to actually allow people to vote. Because, I mean, imagine how many Zimbabweans will come. We have, like, the airports clogging and not being functional. And
but
looking at how
small
the airports
for
are.
Zimbabwe.
The small money for Zimbabwe. But how many Zimbabweans are out there also, though? There's so many of them to even come down.
More money for Zimbabwe. We want to build an economy.
But where do we accommodate these people when they come into our homes? Now we have to be making space for them. Because some of these relatives have been away for 20 years. I don't want to make room
like,
for anyone.
Like, who are you, by the way?
Like, I don't even know these people. I don't even talk to them. So they should just be allowed to vote, possibly. The embassies, I mean, we need to look into it big time. Embassies,
yes,
should
definitely
be the center.
I think people, I'm not sure how registration of the people in the diaspora, or as Zimbabwe created diasporians, works or worked, because I like to believe people have registered by now. But I think it would have been important for everybody everywhere to be able to go to an embassy and register.
Yes.
And be able to go to an embassy and vote.
Yeah, and hoping that the embassies also can take up this, because every time I travel, which I think everyone should do, is when you travel to a new country, you need to make sure you always check in with your embassy. And that's just statistical, because just in case something happens to you in a new country, they are the first ones to assist you, because you're a citizen, that's your home. But every time I go to the embassies, they are not in good state, and I doubt they'll be able to even, they have the capacity to start thinking about having people registering, I mean, voting in their premises and things like that.
Well, it's a new dispensation. I like to think the new minister for foreign affairs. And
so you're challenging the minister of foreign affairs?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think he's well capable.
All right. Who's the minister of foreign affairs? Because I'm trying to catch up.
SP Moody. I've been talking about SP Moyo. You are a Moyo and you don't even know.
No, but SP Moyo, the ambassador, has SP Moyo. It's like SP Moyo.
SP Moyo.
The like general.
The guy who gave us the speech.
Oh, wow.
That guy is a hero.
For delivering the speech.
On a set piece. No, I mean, like, yeah, it's a new challenge. And I like to think he has the capability. I mean, I've done my research and...
You're a big fan.
I'm a, you know, from what I'm finding in my research, I'm actually, you know, a fan. And
your pom-poms.
Yes, so I like to think, you know, they have a tall task at hand, but they have to, it should be a call to challenge. I'm challenging them to sort this out. You know, we can't be the butt of every embassy joke around the world. Zimbabwe is a very rich country. Yeah. Zimbabwe is a... There's a lot of very forward-thinking individuals and team workers and builders. And, I mean, our embassies just need to be...
No, they need to be up-to-date because some of them have, like, Makundwane urine-smelling, like red urine-smelling. You know, and then when you walk in there, there's, like, a brick. Not that we're trying to belittle our embassies.
No, but it's the reality that you find when you get there, you know. And ambassadors as well, I mean, don't they host like teas and
like cocktails
and there
like
and, you know, that kind of thing. So the idea is you have to see, as a person, you also see, you live in a home and you see, you know, this brick, you know, it's falling apart. Yeah. Let me, you know what, act on it. Let me figure out, find how to, you know, to keep a rotten carpet.
That's... Right, and those couches that we're going to touch on some just later on in the show. You know, those are very old couches with malembus, like cloths, like it's like 1954.
You know, like it's like this after a certain nuclear holocaust or something like that.
All right, if you have been to any of our embassies, do you think they have the capacity to actually get people to come through and register and actually vote to be part of these elections that are coming in 4 to 5 months? Let us know on our social media platforms. You already know the hashtags. We love to hear from you. So keep your thumbs busy on your phone. So with so many things unfolding this year, I wonder what the direction of the Zimbabwean economy is. I mean, we have the president approaching international communities and having conversations with them. That's basically in trying to bring about some sort of like change to our economy, like a positive change per se. And you've got a lot of young people that have been hustling and that have been partaking in this entrepreneurship. That you have universities such as Lupane State University taking up a degree on entrepreneurship. So it's something that is now being recognized. But do we have enough of that being recognized? And what are your thoughts, Torilo, on the direction of our economy currently and with all this happening?
Well, I think with me and many Zimbabweans, it's hope. We like to see
you're trying to be Jonathan Moore. He wants to speak on all
on behalf of all Zimbabweans. Yeah, definitely. I'm doing the Jonah. So, yeah, I mean, we'd like to see our economy go up. We've been waiting for this to happen since 99, since the first initial announcement that the Zim dollar is going to crash. You know, so, I mean, we try and keep positive. I'm trying to keep positive. I'm looking at things and I'm seeing with this new dispensation, as much as politically I might disagree with a lot, I still want the best for the country.
Yeah, we do. Everybody does.
You know, and because of that, I've been watching here and there, like we were talking about SP Moyo, about a couple of weeks back, I came across a tweet, a tweet by the...
By him, he's also on Twitter like the...
No.
Okay.
It's a tweet by the Undersecretary of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
You know, it's a say Simon McDonald.
Oh, okay. What was Simon?
He was on a, what you call it, on a tour of Southern Africa. He had planned a tour of Southern Africa.
Yes.
This is how we put it. And then as soon as Zimbabwe changed the government and everything, he included Zimbabwe
in the tour.
In his tour.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's what he put up on Twitter. People can find this. And so he put up this picture of himself. He's tweeted, "Good discussion with Foreign Minister Moyo about reintegrating Zimbabwe into international community and normalizing relationship with UK. New dispensation, new possibilities." at UK in Zimbabwe.
Oh, I saw, actually, is this not the Simon that I saw at the National Gallery? Because there's a Simon who's touring Zimbabwe, who's from the UK, UK government, whatever. Maybe it's him, or maybe it's not him. Anyway, maybe.
I don't know, but I know he had a meeting. He was in Harare at a meeting. Actually took a picture in SP Moyo's office. He took one picture at the international Robert Mugabe International Airport, and then he moved on to Joburg. So I mean, because of such things, and you know, the UK and the Commonwealth have been one niggling point when it comes to Zimbabwe and the economy moving forward, and suddenly you've got the undersecretary, you know, ironing certain things out there. He's the one tweeting new possibilities, new dispensation.
Which is good, and it's not, you know, SB.
Yes. So as a Zimbabwean, I think it might, I don't know where this is going to lead, because also being in Zimbabwe, all this, you can't be too happy about anything until
you can only hope,
the actual results. But the hope is, I mean,
it's we good. Are the most hopeful people ever.
You know, and but now, I think the time for talk is up. This has been 56 days since new president's been in.
Action.
So 44 days to 100 days.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about possibilities, talking about what needs to be done. Now, we really need to put practical things, tangible things on the ground.
Yeah, we need to be very practical and just remove this whole theory and just talk and talk and talk. Zimbabweans like talking. We love gatherings. We love meetings. We love discussions. We just love platforms. Even yesterday, the president was talking, was at the Road to Davos talks with the global community shapers or something. In Harare, it was just sort of like highlighting
summit,
young people about, you know, what he's going to take to Davos and also taking questions from them. And I mean, we can't neglect that young people in Zimbabwe have been hustling, and that's why entrepreneurship has actually been redefined in Zimbabwe, because you find that a lot of people are making use of their skills or things that they know. Some of them, you started to be a doctor, but that's not what you're actually doing now. So entrepreneurship has really taken the role in Zimbabwe, and possibly that could actually help build the economy in Zimbabwe if some focus is put on it.
Yes, definitely. Focus, proper guidance, because also we can't take this hustling and make it run an economy. You know, at the end of the day, most of these hustles came out of a desperation to survive. Not really because it's what I want to be doing, it's what I've got a skill for. Some of us had to figure out things as you go. You wing it. But now we've done good. We've actually managed to sustain whatever little is there of the economy to keep the country going, to keep ourselves going. But the reason why we keep talking about economic growth is because we know we can be better. We can be way, way better. The country can be way, way better because of the natural resource we have here, because of the human resource we have here, because of everything that we've got.
And obviously, we'd love to hear from those people that have been very active in terms of building the economy of Zimbabwe. So one of them is Shingi Munyeza, who's a Zimbabwean businessman who in 2008 became the chief executive officer of African Sun Limited, hospitality company in Africa. He's actually one of the most active people. He was listed as Zimbabwe's top 10 business entrepreneurs alongside Strive Masiwa, James Makamba, Divine Lugula, and so on. So we also spoke to him, we caught up with him, and he had also some contributions on his thoughts on entrepreneurship and where the economy of Zimbabwe is going. And apart from him, we spoke to Takunda Chingozo, who was listed as Forbes 30 Under 30 and is a founder of tech startup SciSci. He has interviewed former US President Barack Obama and is a founding member of the collaborative working space of entrepreneurs called Tech Village. He's actually very way forward in terms of his thinking and the way he does things. So we wanted to get their perspectives, besides Swahilos and myself, and just their take on where our economy is going in Zimbabwe. And this is some of what the things that they had to say.
Zimbabwe is at a very exciting stage where serious entrepreneurs need to actually have a rethink and a refocus on the potential that Zimbabwe has. We have a new government, we have a new leadership that is clearly addressing those aspects of business and the economy that an entrepreneur is excited to pursue. So the narrative of Zimbabwe has changed. There is hope. The resources that Zimbabwe has, starting with its human resources, are there. The natural resources are there. The weather is great. Its geographical location also makes it pivotal in accessing the regional markets. So Zimbabwe is poised for some exciting times ahead. We need to just get over the hump of elections to deal and sort out once and for all the aspect of the rule of law and legitimacy of the sitting government after what happened in November 2017. So from a perspective of entrepreneurship, I think that if there was a time that one seriously thinks about Zimbabwe, it is now. And I think that the world out there is also considering Zimbabwe and having a fresh look.
So I think the biggest thing that we should try and do is try and make information more accessible. When you talk about people who are looking at Zimbabwe and trying to understand what's happening, there are all these assumptions of what Zimbabwe is like, right? When you look at, even when it comes to the whole ease of doing business, it's all about the perception, whether people feel confident enough to come in and invest, whether young people feel confident enough in trying to start their businesses, or if they'll just, you know, not do it because they fear and they believe that, you know, they are going to be facing a good number of challenges. And so if we begin to make that information more publicly available, you know, it becomes easier to try and build the business. It becomes clear that there is more certainty, and with the certainty comes actual growth.
Right, very interesting take, especially when you touch on the world looking into Zimbabwe. I think there's been a lot of attention in terms of potential investors, potential partners that might want to work with Zimbabwe. Because I feel like for many years, Zimbabwe is a country that Mugabe is a face, and many people didn't like Mugabe as a president. So you find that even when you travel, people ask you stupid questions like, oh, so how is Robert Mugabe? How is Grace?
Yeah, like he was there, you know, there.
Like he was my uncle who stays in the same house with me, or he was my next door neighbor. So you get all those weird questions all the time about Robert Mugabe. And I mean, I understand, because he was the face of Zimbabwe. And even
I think
up to
he
now,
tormented them in their dreams. Yeah.
So maybe with a new face just representing the country, there's going to be a lot of people coming into the country and possibly helping us.
But now
that's
grow. The thing is, one of the big problems with Zimbabwe was that of faces. You know, you shouldn't look at a country and see somebody's face. You know, because the country is everybody else, not just this one person who's been elected or who's put themselves into the presidency.
But then it always happens. Even now, look at Donald Trump talking all these BS things on you know.
But I don't think. Yes, Donald Trump is the president of America, but I don't think he's the face of America.
Okay.
America is
the face of America is Nicki Minaj's backside. No,
that's not the face. That's the
because people know Nicki Minaj.
I mean, countries should have a lot of faces. You look at South Africa, you don't just think you're going to think Jacob Zuma, but you're going to think a whole lot. I know you love Durban.
Yeah,
that's why
I think
face.
Durban. I think Cape Town.
You know, somebody loves Cape Town. Mm. Somebody loves something else about South Africa. Somebody loves the BMWs. Somebody thinks you have Anjunguns and things like that. So a country has many faces. Yeah. It should have many faces.
But then I guess it's well branded also.
Yes,
they're well branded, and we need that in Zimbabwe. Actually, we need to talk about this on the show. I think we have so many things to talk about.
Yes,
issues of branding the country, because I think we've dismally failed in terms of just branding our country.
Which could be the next step in trying to really reshape and grow our economy. Mm. It's less brand, let's make every... Dagunda spoke about, you know, how, you know, perception. People need to be comfortable.
Yeah, they need to.
To come and invest, they need to know, you know, their investments are going to be protected. Mm. It's a comfortable situation in which to do business. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things this new government has been trying to preach, you know. In his speech, one of the things Mnangagwa said, President Idi, was Zimbabwe was open for business. Them scraping off the 51-49 on a lot of things is accommodating. You know, they are trying to say, no, your investment is safe.
Yeah,
come
yeah.
through. We are also working on the political side, but they spoke of legislation, which means they are saying, no, the things that Dakunda highlighted, you know, so you need that, and And the branding then tells people, listen, this is a comfortable space. You spoke about nice weather. We spoke about nice weather.
Yeah, Shingi was talking about Shingi, the nice weather, which, weather, nice I mean, everything. He's into, he was into tourism for many years. And I think that's one area that needs to be posted in Zimbabwe. We need to be able to document Zimbabwe. People need to go on the online and say Zimbabwe and get adequate information. Because it says there's lack of information.
The thing is, if you document Zimbabwe, you get trolled, like...
Because Zimbabweans, who are you?
Who are you?
No, but either way, we need to tell our stories as Zimbabwe. Because when you Google Zimbabwe, you don't see anything. Someone actually, I met someone at the gallery. This guy is from the UK. He says that the only thing I saw about Zimbabwe was just tankers and people dying. But I'm shocked this is how things look like.
No, but that's what he was also looking for.
Maybe that's what he finds on the internet.
That's what he was also looking for, because there was no way you were not going to see Grace Mugabe.
She's a tanker.
Well, if you put it that way.
No, but either way, what we're challenging is our government and our new whoever can take this up, is that we need to be able to just document Zimbabwe at the same time to allow people to get more information so that they can come in here. Yes, that's Brent. Thank you for correcting that. So that people can feel comfortable to come into Zim and actually invest in the country. But then with many African countries venturing into tech or energy or cryptocurrencies in the effort to turn their economies around, what direction do you think Zimbabwe should take for fast and guaranteed economic growth? What direction do you think we should take?
Well, I don't know. I mean, cryptocurrency is the next booming thing. You know, it's making its mark. I first heard of cryptocurrency some years back.
Yeah.
Ignored it, like any sensible Zimbabwean would do. And then now its value is really grown up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really gone like...
People are making money.
From close to nothing, less than a cent. If Bitcoin used to cost less than a cent when it first came out. Now it's well around the 10,000 mark.
Yeah. We need to get someone to actually come and explain this, because I'm also trying to understand this whole Bitcoin.
No, but no one explained it to anybody else. I mean, people were researching and learning them online. I know a couple of friends who are really into this and are really crazy about it, you know, and all that. So cryptocurrency, although for me, being a Zimbabwean, I can't trust anything virtual.
You can't. Because I have also done that. What's called the triple M, and my money disappeared.
You know?
Yeah.
But now Kenya went into energy on a huge scale. That also is a huge contributor to economies and all that.
Yeah.
Some people are venturing into tech. Look at how the United States invested in a generation of tech wizards.
Yeah.
And today's billionaires are virtual billionaires.
They are.
Mark Zuckerberg. The Google guy, the Amazon guy, the Netflix guy, whom I should know by name, but I don't. The WhatsApp guy, you know, all these things, and an investment into that. For me, that was a positive move, where they move from tangible to virtual stuff, you know, and now you've got those guys. Now, even in America, there are two brothers who became the first Bitcoin billionaires.
Oh, yeah.
You know, recently. So it goes to show that side is also... coming up,
booming.
You know, and things like that. So I think the wizards in this field, I'm not a wizard in any of this field.
We have a wizard here, Takunda, and we asked him this, and then he also had quite a few things to highlight on that. So we'd love to hear what he has to, what he actually thinks about this.
I think when it comes to the direction that we should take as Zimbabwe, I think the first port of call is clarifying all the myths and all the unclear things around our economy. So making sure that policies are well understood and well communicated, that investors understand what is going on, and if they come and invest, what will happen to that investment? Is it secure? Is it guaranteed that whatever means of return they're expecting will actually come through? I think that is the first thing that we should try and do. Secondly, I think looking at where the rest of the world has gone. So Zimbabwe has largely been primary industry-driven economy, and so we need to start looking at adding value to those industries. So whether it's, yes, you talked about energy and technology, but technology in itself, I feel, has applications in almost every other industry in Zimbabwe. And so as young people, as people who are trying to build businesses, we should start looking at how we can value add and bring efficiencies to these industries. And as well as bringing efficiencies to the systems and the policies that are supposed to govern the way and the way that we do business in those spaces.
Well, as far as growing the economy using tech and energy or cryptocurrencies, my view is that Zimbabwe is coming from way out there, from a very deep hole. We need to be realistic with ourselves that what was destroyed in 37 years is not going to be sorted out over a couple of months or a couple of years. So there's certain fundamentals that have to be in place to deal with sustainable economic growth. And so, yes, we can also not afford to continue with archaic technology. So we need to embrace technology at its very best. The good thing about technology is that once you embrace it, it becomes friendly to you. If you don't, it becomes very aggressive and it becomes your enemy to growth or to progress. So I think that Zimbabwe needs to embrace technology in all aspects. For example, e-commerce should be the in thing that government should pronounce and activate immediately. E-gov and in itself, it would root out corruption. And then we go to cryptocurrencies. I'm very traditional in some of these things. Whilst I think that that's a new development, I'm very cautious, so I'm not going to comment about cryptocurrencies. I've not invested in it. I do not like to invest in it in the foreseeable future until I see who governs this whole thing, because the issue is that it has no law around it. So it's everybody jumps in and the market participates, or the market begins to form its direction. So I'm very concerned about that. So the way forward is to try and find ways of leapfrogging without assuming that certain things must be ignored. We have got to build very consistently.
Like Shing, I'm also not very much fascinated. I mean, I'm fascinated by cryptocurrency and things like that, all these virtual things, but I'm very skeptic about it. Like, do you put money? Because the last time I put money, I lost money on some platform that just froze, and all of a sudden, and it was operated by people. So you'd come together, put in money, and you control it, blah, 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 blah. I feel like this is almost the same thing, and I'm not really keen on it. I'm just looking from afar.
Well, you're not a victim of a pyramid scheme.
No, it wasn't a pyramid. Maybe right. It was a pyramid scheme, actually.
No, this is the thing. This is why Zimbabwe needs to go through a healing and reconciliation. Not just with the genocide and stuff and political violence, but with every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
You had a year where people had money in the bank. They are livelihoods and everything.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly Gideon Kono puts banks under a curatorship or something, whatever that was.
Curatorship.
And people lost their money.
Yeah, people did.
You had my grandfather started his insurance when I was born in 1983.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In 2008, foreign currency came in. With the inflation and everything, his money was next to nothing.
And everything just disappeared.
Things just disappeared.
Yeah.
This is a lifetime of insurance.
But now,
and somebody
mean
just
anything.
Gets $4,000.
No worries.
$4,000. This is somebody who's. And my grandfather was a very elite somebody. So he was paying the high end.
Look at yourself.
Of you know, that kind of thing. So this is what I'm saying, where people aren't trusting.
Yeah,
when
I know.
It comes to this. Zimbabwe has ruined our instinct to go. You know, business is a risk. It's an investment. When you invest in something, you don't know whether it will give you returns.
Yeah,
you don't know whether it won't. You just do it because you have a dream, you have an idea, you have it's instinct, right?
Yeah, true.
And yet that has been killed in almost all of us.
I think we've had such a rough relationship, so our trust issues is very,
very, very,
very
low.
Bad. I mean, some of us joined maybe 10 years later. We went into that marriage 10 years later.
Yes.
And for the whole 27 to 28 years, we've been in such a rough relationship. So our trust issues are very bad when it comes to Zimbabwe.
The Ministry of Finance, the government, the Ministry of Finance, the Reserve Bank, have a tall task in trying to, rebuild the people's trust so that people can invest well. Because it doesn't help us as a country also to have people keeping their money in mattresses again.
Mm.
We are trying to rebuild an economy, which means we should be injecting funds back into the economy, keep them circulating. It doesn't help us that the government the previous government, or is it still some people in the same government would start this banning thing just to get foreign currency away from people? Exactly. It doesn't help us that they introduce bond notes just to get foreign currency away from people. Mm. And Chombo and them were being found with $10 million in their houses
when people had US no money. Dollars.
So try and think how people are skeptic and untrusting and, you know, really trying to hold on to whatever little money that is valuable that they have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so is we are going to have this problem that she is highlighting, that you are highlighting. Like I'm saying, I mean, any sensible Zimbabwean honestly would ignore anything virtual.
Yeah.
But this is not the way to be. This is not the way to go. We are missing out on a lot.
So my next question actually rather, is there a place for cryptocurrency in Zimbabwe? I would like to find out. Gentlemen, what do you think?
I'm not sure whether there is a place for cryptocurrencies in Zimbabwe, because in itself it's just a preserver of value, and it offers opportunities for externalization. So I think right now we need more liquidity, we need to trade, we need to be able to buy tomatoes in the streets, wherever they're sold. So I'm not sure that will be the medium of exchange to grow our economy. So I'm very doubtful that it should be the one of the things that we must embrace. I'm very skeptical about it, so I'm not the best person to comment on that.
Is there a place for cryptocurrencies in Zimbabwe? I believe that there is. I mean, we're always talking about how we are part of this global village and how we're beginning to drive the digital economy. And so I think there definitely is a space and a place for cryptocurrencies in Zimbabwe. I think it's just a bit unfortunate that most people are beginning to adopt them or are getting to know about cryptocurrencies because of the recent surge in prices. And most people, you know, are just getting into them because they're looking at them as a means of making, you know, a quick buck, which is not always the case. When you look at them, you know, most of your financial institutions aren't so crazy about the decentralized currencies themselves. However, they are loving the underlying technology that powers your cryptocurrencies, and that is the blockchain. And this is so because there are a lot of other applications of that blockchain, whether it's in financial services or in other industries. You know, the blockchain is a public ledger where you're able to see all, you know, transactions that are being undertaken, whether it's for a currency or a token system or whatever it is. And so as Zimbabweans, we should also start looking at how we can adopt that technology, that underlying technology, to fit the context in which we're operating in. You know, the Zimbabwean case is a very unique case. And so our drive should be looking at how we can adopt, you know, the underlying technologies. It's not just, I heard the other day somebody talking about creating, you know, a Zimbabwean cryptocurrency, which is well and fine. But I think there's more value in understanding the technology and finding ways of applying it in the different spaces that we are trying to build our business.
Right. I mean, obviously, Shinge and I are in the same WhatsApp group because we still are very skeptic about issues of cryptocurrency. But I mean, hey, this is Zimbabwe.
Yeah, this is Zimbabwe. I mean, one of the things, my personal belief is right now, as Zimbabwe, we have a great opportunity to also touch far and wide. Yes, we don't have all the money in the world.
Yes.
We invest in everything, right?
Yeah.
But now this interest, this knowledge, if you realize as Zimbabweans, we now know a lot more than an ordinary, comfortable economy would know.
Because we have to know.
Yes, we've got people in tangible industries and investments.
Mm.
We've got people in energy. We've got people who are interested in tech, like Takunda. Very, you know, I've known him.
Yeah.
You know, he's this tech. And then we've got people who are interested in cryptocurrencies. So we stand a great chance to be a very diverse economy.
Yeah, very true.
Very, very diverse economy that touches the traditional old investments and the new stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And I mean, also, because of all that, it'll be just nice to know where we're coming from. And I would like to understand on just also to hear more on what these gentlemen, including you also that are listening, think were the hindrances to the economic growth of Zimbabwe.
I think the greatest hindrance to our economic growth has been the environment that we have created, which has a lot of inconsistencies and that is riddled in corruption. I personally believe that the biggest contributor to that corruption is the fact that information is not easily accessible. Information in this day and world has basically become a currency. a currency that, you know, those who have exclusive access to it, you know, profit lords, whether it's through legal or illegal means or whatever, and those who are ignorant, those who do not have access to it, you know, pay, you know, for that relative ignorance through then having to pay bribes and go through all these different challenge.
The biggest hindrance that Zimbabwe has had to its economic growth and economic emancipation has been its politics, nothing else. It has not been because of the world crisis, it has not been because of a civil war, it has not been because of natural disasters, it has been basically its politics, toxic politics, politics of patronage, politics that have been selfish to the growth of this economy, politics of entitlement. And it has really then marginalized the opportunities that a normal Zimbabwean would have had to completely participate in the economic activity of this country. And so, yeah, once that side of things is beginning to solve itself out, then everything is given in Zimbabwe. We actually don't need to know who is in what sort of role in government once the politics are sorted out, and that there is rule of law, and that there is opportunity available for everyone at an equal opportunity. So that is what has hindered Zimbabwe. It's dirty, brutal, toxic politics.
Actually having a very constructive discussion. And obviously, corruption in Zimbabwe has played a huge role in just, you know, in our economy, in hindrancing growth in our economy in Zimbabwe. And you find that most of the times you even have to pay or bribe someone just to get your kid in a class in school. And everywhere you go, you just need to give someone something.
And that's proving, you know, a huge problem. You look at schools now, all schools are open. Uh-huh. You know, schools were taking in people not from their district, and now classes are overfilling. You've got some classes with over 50 students, and the school has a problem on their hands, and they're still also not, you know, accepting the problem, why they got to that point.
Yes.
So corruption has affected us, and as ordinary people in Zimbabwe, we've allowed ourselves to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, been the biggest problem in Zimbabwe.
Huge problem. Mm-hmm. Not just in, it didn't only exist in big offices, but also us on the ground. And as soon as we're prepared and able as a people to get past that and say, you know, we want to remove corruption, mm-hmm. we will not accept corruption, our economy will go in the right direction.
It will boom, like baby booming, what's happening. What happened in December? Everyone is pregnant. I was pregnant in December and they had babies. Everyone. Maybe our economy would
what
boom.
What do you mean, everyone? But I wasn't pregnant.
You were pregnant with the information that you're sharing right now. Moving right along, I mean, we are just about to close the show, but we have such an interesting individual. His name is Indigo Saint. He won the Best Underground Zim Hip Hop Award in 2017. He drops his new single, August, ahead of his debut album, which is coming sometime mid-year. We're still yet to get more details. So we're just going to preview a little bit into his song, August. Something rare, something fresh.
Come on, bro, taking pain is easy. You just have to imagine that every bruise is a hickey from the universe. And everyone wants to get with the universe.
I could've died last August, I could've died last June. I popped some pills in July, what would you do if I die? I lost myself last August, I was alone in your room. I rolled a blunt and got high, mama I'm not tryna die yet. Jen ain't even lying yet, I ain't written all these lines yet. I ain't told him about these times yet, I swear it's feeling like it's my year. Yeah, I told him that love is a drug. I take pills and I overdose. No. Taking selfies, but she overdose. But love lives here. Death does too. I'm good here. Death is too. I'm too sincere. I hate all the that I write. I'm worried they're riding my way, but I hate all the that I write. But pick a suicide, I'm picking suicide. I'm glad that I'm inside your room tonight. I'm trying to get inside your room tonight. You're working like I got a suit inside. I'm a dog, took the muzzle off, but treat all these women like pets. All my dogs got the muzzle off, but they owe me running like vets. Taking shots like a veteran. Gold bling got me settling. She outside, she's cindering. I wrote all these verses to littering. Cause I could've died last August, but maybe I didn't, I'm back. She turned 22 in August, when I left I was getting them back. But I'm back in my mind, yeah. Anxiety made my mind die, yeah. Couldn't even write a rhyme, yeah.
Wow, incredible. I'm looking forward to listening to the entire song. So if you are looking forward to the song, you can find it on Indigo Saint's social media platforms. You can follow him on Twitter at Indigo Saint ZW. I think he paid us to do this. But anyway, it's promoting.
I like how I think he paid us to do this and the song just cuts.
But I mean, it's promoting Zimbabwean talent. And talking about talent, do you remember a gentleman called Tamba Oga? Who used to sing Land Reform jingles like Kirambai Makashinga, Sende Kera, which clogged Zimbabwean radio and TV stations and ran up to, you know, to the 2002 elections. So he's now a bitter man and he's saying that he was never paid for that and to doing all that noise. I mean, he polluted our airwaves.
But now, this is a dude who was living comfortably at the time. I remember Xavier Kasukuere paid that dude 200,000 Zim dollars at the time to just perform a song agreement again and again.
It was on repeat.
It was like a Dismo Fire rally that they or gala that they had, and this guy performs a song and Xavier Kasukuere is elated and says, "I'll pay $200,000 and people didn't have money then.
We were struggling.
And also because now look at this, it's a jingle. He was doing jingles. Once something certified
and it's
a jingle.
Even a song though.
You don't get royalties. Yeah. You get that once off payment. If you got $200 payment, that was it. That was what he was paid for the jingle. Why is he complaining now? Because it's now like the rest of us.
Yes, he could have had an album instead that was targeted at that, and then he was going to make more money. He was going to be endorsed by the then government.
And that dude, I mean, he was used. He allowed himself to, you know, praise the elite at the time, and they abused him.
Shame, poor little boy.
Shame,
poor child. But he says he couldn't even afford to take his kids to school.
Shame.
But anyway, in other news, you know, the president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Dambudzo Mnangagwa, is now on Twitter and Facebook, which is a good stride when we're talking about technology. We're keeping up with the technology. You know, he opened a Twitter account and a Facebook account, and he was verified immediately, soon after opening. And,
this is after Twitter closed down verification.
And you know, because you can't apply anymore, so I think they picked him up and they verified him. I mean,
like,
Zimbabwe,
we need to verify this dude.
We need to verify. But let's talk about the video, because he did videos for Facebook and on Twitter where he was announcing that, "Hi, this is the president, I'm the legit one.
No, let's talk about the lembus, the cloth on the sofa.
Like, what happened to leather sofas nowadays?
Like, yo, dude, get an interior deck. It's like it was in a dingy place, bruh.
Like that thing that you said with our embassies. That's exactly. So you see, we
need that rebranding.
We need the rebranding, because I could see. I looked at the video. I'm like, okay, we're very excited, but we're ignoring this whole chaos and chaotic things that are happening. Anyway, we just have to let you go, and thank you so much for joining us on the Gilmore T Vibe here on Clip Central. Please continue exchanging dialogue with us on our social media platforms. The hashtag is GTEEVibe, and tweet me at GilmoreTEE and at CliffCentral.com, and also at Umelapi. Would love to hear your thoughts on these and many stories. Please live lots, love lots, and be a blesser. Until next week, 1 p.m. Friday, God bless.
This is CliffCentral.com.